Just checking.
Right. I think paper 11 will be worse, but anyway, paper 10.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Paper 10 deals with a discount rate issue to do with IS 37. We received a request to clarify whether the discount rates or the cash flows used to calculate provisions should be credit adjusted. The request narrowed this down as you got further into it, into whether it should just be the discount rate that is credit adjusted. And they kind of accepted the fact that, you know, cash flows wouldn't be. So that was in paragraph B2 of the submission. And then paragraph B20 asked for interpretation of whether the phrase risk specific to the liability prohibits the inclusion of a provision for credit risk in the discount rate. So it took us a bit of time going through the submission to try and tease out exactly what they were asking. But as far as we can understand, it appears that the risks specific to the liability are causing a lot of angst out there in the market. People aren't sure what it means, and it's causing problems with whether to adjust discount rates, what for, and so on. So we had a look at this issue, and when we were looking at it, we had a look at paragraph 36 of IS 37 and paragraph 45 and 47 of IS 37. And they don't give you much else other than risk specific to the liability. It also states that either the discount rate or the cash flows being discounted should be adjusted for relevant risks and not both. And as we are all aware, there was a exposure draft out in January 2010, which was talking about the measurement of liabilities in IS 37, part of the infamous liabilities project of the board. And paragraph B14 of the exposure draft kind of carries on with this theme that we picked up in IS 37. It says the expected outflows shall be discounted to their present value using rates that reflect A, the current market assessments of the time value of money, and B, risk specific to the liability. So, you know, once again, there wasn't that much more given, apart from the fact that if you have adjusted your discount rate, you shouldn't adjust your cash flows as well, and so on. Now, the submission tells us that there is diversity in practice, and diversity in practice is easy, because it's either it is included or it is not. And those are the two views, view A and view B, which is paragraphs 13 and 14 and so on of this paper. We also noticed, though, with the comments received on the liabilities ED, and we had a discussion with the team on this, that there were a number of comment letters that were received that raised this issue. And it was discussed at the board in the comment letter analysis in September. And I've given an extract there to what the board said, an extract from the ISB update, insofar as they intend to work on this going forward, and they intend to, where possible, consider giving more guidance on discount rate issues and whether they should be adjusted, not only for credit risks, but for various other ones as well. So it appears to us that we need some clarity on the following points. Firstly, would credit risk be a risk specific to the liability? Some people say it's not. Some people say it is. And if so, if it is, then must or may we adjust the discount rate for credit risk? And or should it be specifically excluded? And in this jurisdiction that submitted this letter to us, that seems to be the problem. Some of their constituents are being told they absolutely can't adjust the discount rate. So hence, when they started asking the question, there were a whole lot of things that kind of rolled out of it. And so they submitted to us. So perhaps if we can jump to a question here, and I apologize for the question numbering and also for some of the numbers of the appendix. I had a bit of template problems with this paper. But question one on paragraph 20 asks whether the committee agrees that the principles in IS 37, as I've discussed, and in the CD, in terms of what risk specific to the liability mean, are not clear, and insofar as do you have to include credit risk in your discount rate, or do you not, or may you, or... So I guess the question is, do you agree that the principles are unclear? And then we can move on to what to do about it.
Does anybody disagree with the staff conclusion? Right?
Well, I do, because to me, risk specific to the liability is clearly not including credit risk of the company, because this is specific to the company and is specific to all liabilities of the company and not to that particular liability. So to me, this is something different from, it's either specific, if it says the risk is specific to the liability, then it's meant the liability I'm measuring at the moment and not all the liabilities of the companies. So for me, that's clearly prohibiting including own credit risk. Having said that, I know that in practice, often you just take the CDS spread and that definitely includes own credit risk. But I'm not sure that many companies are aware that they measure it with their own credit risk included. But to me, it's clear.
Okay. Luca?
I think that's the point will depend. I strongly believe that there is a diversity in practice, and but it also depends on the approach adopted by the single entity in looking at the appropriate way to determine the discount rate. For US GAAP proposals, looking at the part of the commissioning, is quite clear to say start from a pre-risk rate and then adjust with your own credit risk to arrive at something that represents a proxy of the interest rate for your borrowings, and therefore it's an element that you can use in order to determine which is the value of the liabilities. So I think that it will depend on the starting point. If you start from a pre-risk rate, I agree that you can add some elements that try to arrive to a proxy that is more similar to your cost of debts in order to determine which is the appropriate discount rate. But if we do not specify which is the starting point, I think that we will not be able to arrive to an appropriate conclusion.
Okay. Ross?
I am aware of the diversity in practice, particularly with measuring decommissioning liabilities. I do agree that the principles in IS 37 are not clear, but I don't understand why we need to make reference to an exposure draft.
Okay. That's a gratuitous comment, I guess. Not your comment, but the reference to the ED. Andrew?
I do understand it's diversity in practice. I have to say that I would agree with Bernd's interpretation that risk specific to the liability, the natural interpretation of that is you don't include entity-wide risks. But just a question on the board discussion in September, was that sort of from a conceptual point of view, or did they touch on the meaning, did the board discuss at all the meaning of the words risk specific to the liability? It was just a...
I think part of the session was really trying to decide whether to go forward with the liabilities project and how, with a couple of options. So it was at a fairly high level still.
For me?
Basically, I share the analysis made by Bernd. I think credit risk should be considered specific to the entity and not to the liability. But and also I try to imagine why there is a specific exclusion in IS 19 on this issue, because as far as the maturity of this type of long-term liability, just like decommissioning, could be even longer than retirement and I think that we should consider the two aspects together and ask ourselves why it should be excluded from 19 and why it should be included or potentially included in 37.
Sorry, John Lee.
Yeah.
Are you saying that you think that 37 is unclear as to whether you include it?
37 is clear, in my view.
19 is clear.
Yep.
And in my feeling, 37 should exclude this type of risk. But I know there is diversity in practice. But if we were confirming that it's not specific to the entity, but not specific to the liability, it would be an improvement. But my reading is such.
Okay, so do you think it's because IS 19 specifically excludes it?
Maybe because there is no specific comment in 37. It could create part of the problem.
All right, so that's similar to what Scott was saying earlier about don't take account of non-substantive clauses, which, yeah, okay.
Bob, Joanna here. Can I make a comment?
Yes, Joanna, you can come in.
Just in answer to the question one, I agree that it is not clear in 37. I think there is diversity in practice. I agree that it is not clear, but having said that, I personally subscribe to the view as outlined by Bernd that it shouldn't be included, but that shouldn't preclude us moving forward.
Okay. I think there's enough difference of opinion to confirm that it isn't crystal clear.
No.
So shall we move on to the next question, one?
Yeah. The staff had a look at the agenda criteria assessment for taking onto the agenda or not, which is in paragraph 18. And so we came down to the conclusion that perhaps the committee should not take it onto its agenda, but recommend that the board should make clear whether and how own creditors should be reflected in the calculation of provisions as part of its deliberations on the ongoing liabilities project. When I wrote this paper, the liabilities IFRS was supposed to be coming out second half of 2011. Things did change a little bit last week. So in the latest work plan, it just says second half plus. So, I mean, there is a little uncertainty. It was always kind of going to be the second half, and then now it says second half plus. So it could be like, you know, 2012. So we have a little uncertainty in terms of whether it's going to be resolved in time. You know, as criteria E asks us, ENF. So our recommendation still stands insofar as we think perhaps, being that it is the issue that it is, and as Jean-Louis was saying, it is excluded in IS 19, it's also excluded for the purposes of insurance. I know Pat's smiling at me over there, but it is included when you're measuring a financial liability. So there are various lines of thought, and it's quite a complicated issue, and I'm not convinced that we could do anything here to change that in the near term prior to the board actually taking the deliberations further, because when they do, they will be considering all the cross-cutting issues across the various projects and why it should be excluded in 19 and in insurance, and why it shouldn't, whatever the case may be, in 37. So having said that, do you agree with our recommendation that we should refer it to the board?
Which presumably the board is now aware of anyway, but the alternative to that would be that we could take it on as an interpretive project, say that it should be included, and that we should account for changes in own credit through OCI. which would seem a little convoluted. If I can just make an observation before anybody comes in, of course, that this discount and the own credit in the discount rate, first of all, has to apply to a discount rate, over which we don't have a great deal of guidance as to what the discount rate should represent, what should be included within it. And that discount rate, as I recall, should be applied to an estimate of some future numbers. And there is, according to the comment letters that came in on the original ED proposing changes to IS 37, there appears to be significant diversity in understanding what those future costs should be. Direct marginal costs, or fully absorbed costs, or external third-party costs. So we seem to be looking at a very tiny portion of the whole issue. But anyway, that's just my personal interjection. Go around the table now, Laurence.
This is a very complex issue. I have a personal inclination to consider that an entity's own credit risk should not be included into the measurement of the discount rate, but I agree that I cannot just say so. It's more complex than that. You have to consider all types of liabilities, financial liabilities, insurance liabilities, non-financial liabilities, performance obligations, and so on. So there is a whole reasoning to be made about whether or not you consider an entity's own credit risk in measuring those liabilities. And so this is why I do support the staff proposals that it should be referred to the board.
Okay. Philippe?
Well, I wanted to comment, as you did, on the fact that if the board had intended that credit risk is part of the measurement of a non-financial liability, either implicitly or, then we would have also decided that the credit risk could go to OCI, as we did for financial liabilities, and we certainly did not do that. So it might give an indication that the board might not have in its mind that there is a credit risk component in the discount rate for non-financial liabilities. Otherwise, we are a bit short-sighted people, maybe, but not that much, maybe.
I don't know about short-sighted, maybe inconsistent sometimes. Bernd?
Yes, I completely agree with the staff recommendation not to take it onto the agenda because I think it's a very sensitive issue and we will not reach any agreement soon. On the other hand, I think, as I said before, it's clear already, so there's no need for it.
Okay. I can sense you're getting tired now.
Just make it up.
Ruth?
A couple of comments. I think that part of the issue is also to do with how the liability is measured, whether it's measured as a best estimate or a transfer value. So I think that's an additional complication that could affect whether or not credit risk is included. But I agree with what the staff recommend, but I'm just wondering about the last sentence in paragraph 2 that you put in the agenda decision where you seem to open the door to including credit risk. And I'm just wondering whether we want to do it or we just want to leave it open before then. That says it's not clear, but you've gone and put in a you've put in a statement there that says the committee did not think that the principles in IAS 37 intended for credit risk to be prohibited from any risk adjustment. Do we want to say that, or should we rather be silent on that?
Well, I guess that was the
body language is saying be silent. Okay. Scott?
I agree with Ruth. That last sentence was bothering me, especially hearing Philippe say that he kind of thinks maybe the intention was that it shouldn't be included. So I'd get rid of that sentence, just, you know, essentially say, we ain't touching this with a 10-foot pole. And move along, because clearly there's a few people around the table that think it is clear. There's others that don't, and addressing this one issue with IAS 37 on its own really doesn't, I don't think, make a lot of sense. I'm more concerned about the issue that Ruth brought up. Is it single best estimate, or is it, you know, some sort of probability weighted thing, considering a marketplace participant view and all these kinds of things? I think that's the bigger IAS 37 issue, and we'd never be able to address this without touching on that. It never happened.
Okay.
Can I briefly intervene?
Yep.
Just to say that I 100% agree with Scott. I agree with the staff recommendation in terms of the tentative agenda decision, and I wouldn't touch that last sentence in paragraph 2 with a 10-foot barge pole.
Is that your quaint way of saying that you think it should be deleted?
I think that might be correct, Bob.
Thank you. Are there any other comments, substantive comments on the wording or editorials we can take offline? But otherwise we confirm, so we can publish that as a tentative agenda decision.
All right.
I'm just drafting. Again, I was wondering whether we need that reference to the exposure graph, so the last sentence of the first paragraph and the reference to the ED on the second line of the second paragraph. I was just wondering whether it is adding anything.
It's informative, but it doesn't need to be in, so take that out as well.
Which one am I taking out in the second paragraph?
No, first paragraph.
Taking out the last sentence of the first sentence.
Yeah.
And the reference.
And the reference to the in the second paragraph.
The second
line of the second paragraph. It's going to be a tiny little agenda decision.
Good.
I think I should cover paper 11 while we're being so efficient.
I would like to delete another sentence, because can we make sure that the now last sentence of the second paragraph is really the consensus of the committee? The committee notes that it is not clear in the current guidance. Is that what the committee notes?
Because some members of the committee thought it was clear.
Okay. And not only one, as far as I understood.
But collectively, the committee, because of the difference of views about whether it was clear or not, then the committee collectively thinks it isn't clear.
And it does.
How many people have to think it's clear for the committee to not think it isn't clear?
Okay, understood.
Well, only if not more than four people object.
No,
end of discussion. Okay. Right, Lisa, you're on a roll.
No, I'm finished now. Aren't I? Must I do paper 11?
Right. I know that Fabienne put your name on deliberately, but this reads IS1 Presentation of Financial Statements, Current, Non-Current Classification of Debt.
I was looking at an older version of the agenda. I think we all need to sleep before we
continue.
No, Adam's right. It says continued if needed.